it's very important for us to believe, if we are doctors in our patients, to believe if we are teachers in our students, to believe if we are parents in our children, and maybe even the most important, to believe in ourselves. And this is where most of the time the problems stem from. We simply don't recognize we have this healthy soul that just needs to be left alone. And if it's going to be left alone, it's going to do the right thing. It's going to heal itself. Just remove these worries, these depressing thoughts, these bad ideas from it, just for a little bit. Remove. Give it a respite for 1 hour. It's going to breathe a little bit for 1 hour. Then you could pounce it again. Don't worry. But just for this 1 hour, let it breathe. And if we are talking about psychology, obviously, I cannot speak about Viktor Frankl. You probably heard me speaking about him before. Viktor Frankl was born in Vienna, Austria. He was originally an MD. He was a neurosurgeon. And then he became a student of Sigmund Freud. There was no degree of psychology back then. He became a student of Sigmund Freud. He was his younger student. Then, during the war, ended up in concentration camps. His parents, his pregnant wife, and his children were killed in the camps. He's the only one from his family who survived. And during the times in the camp, he was observing what was going on from the point of his education as a psychologist. And after the war, he broke from his teacher. He established his own school of psychology, which is called logotherapy, that was contrary to what Sigmund Freud was teaching. Logotherapy is a school of psychology that is based on logos, which in Latin means meaning. Logotherapy means a therapy where a person is helped by the means of finding a meaning in life. Why? Because Viktor Frankl wrote that in order to survive in the camps, you needed two things. First of all, you needed luck, because if you are being shot, you're going to be dead. First, you need luck. But second thing, which is no less important, he wrote, desire to live. If you don't have a desire to live, you'll not live, no matter how much luck you have. And he wrote that he noticed his fellow inmates in his camps. They were functional people, obviously going through this terrible tortures, but they were living, they were with it. And then you look in the eyes of this friend of yours and you see that there is the light which is flickering in people's eyes is not there anymore. You see that he has no desire to continue. And he says a day or two later, he would catch some sort of illness or he would just collapse in the middle of work and he would be gone. So Viktor Frankl said that the theme that allowed him to survive the camps was a quote from Friedrich Nietzsche. If you have a why, you could bear almost any how. You need to find a why. This is exactly what the Rebbe is talking about when the Rebbe is speaking about this approach to our own emotional well-being. You are going to be telling me that the conditions are terrible? I'm not arguing with you. They are terrible. You are telling me that you are being abused and mistreated? 100% you're being abused and mistreated. But we can dwell on these problems or we can refocus on a why. Do you still want to live? Do you still want to survive? If you do, these problems won't go away, but you will realize that you can overcome them. Viktor Frankl, after the war, got remarried. His second wife, Catherine, was not Jewish. He, as a matter of fact, was a devout Catholic. And he never associated himself with the Jewish community. He never went to shul, to synagogue. He was not recognized anywhere in any Jewish circles. But Rabbi Biberman once did what every Chabad rabbi does, and you have been witnesses of it many times. He sent out Jewish calendars. Rabbi Biberman, just as a Chabad rabbi, plucked every Jewish name he was able to find and every Jew and sent them a calendar. They should know, you know, when Rosh Hashanah is, when Yom Kippur is, when Pesach is. And in a calendar, there was an envelope. And he was very surprised to receive a donation from somebody named Viktor Frankl, who was not on the radar of anything Jewish. What was the difference between Viktor Frankl's approach and the standard approach of psychology back in those days, and why he was not accepted by the standard establishment of academia? Sigmund Freud explained how our emotions of today are conditioned by our experiences of the past. I am angry now because when I was in first grade, I had a teacher who was yelling at me. I don't like to eat bread because I have bad associations with bread from when I was 3 years old. I don't like to hear music because when I was a kid, I was traumatized by a music teacher. I'm just making it up. So now, I'm sure everything what Freud discovered has place. Yes, I am traumatized by a music teacher. Yes, I have bad associations from my preschool teacher and so on and so forth. But Viktor Frankl believed that we are not conditioned by it. It is maybe creating for me some initial impulses. It is maybe forcing me initially to have certain emotions towards it, but I can break away from all of that. So therefore, we see a very big difference between Freud's approach and Frankl's approach, and we see why the Rebbe supported Frankl so much. In Frankl's view, the only way to deal with your anger today is to trace it back to where it came from your preschool teacher, and work on that. And the only way to become a healthy self right now is to unwind that whole process. Now, it might be true that it's helpful, and psychologists have helped many people via that method, but it's not the only way. Why? Because as Viktor Frankl said, sometimes if you show a person a why, the problem will not go away, but he will be able to overcome the problem. And then he'll realize, hey, I'm actually stronger than my problem. I am teaching a class. At the time when I'm teaching a class, I might be hot, I might be cold, I might be hungry, I might be thirsty. I don't know. No, it's a problem. It's a problem. Am I continuing to teach a class? I'm continuing to teach a class. The problem is there. But I understand that I am stronger than this problem. And now, it doesn't mean that I don't need to address this problem at one point. If I'm thirsty, when I will have a break, I'll take a drink. If I'm hungry, I'll go take something to eat. But I'm not conditioned by it. It doesn't mean that at the moment when I feel thirst, I need to run to get myself a cup of water. So this is what the Rebbe supported. And by the way, just FYI, most of people in the world today probably don't know the name Viktor Frankl. But most of people in the world today are very well familiar with his approach because, I've got news for you, most of self-help books are based pretty much on this idea. Self-help means I am not conditioned by my upbringing. I can develop myself. I'm not conditioned by my society. I can become better than it. That's what self-help books are. I develop myself. So now I will end with a letter from the Rebbe. Understandably, I don't agree with all the foundations upon which you construct your perspective and conclusions. This is a letter to a person who writes about himself, all of the negative perceptions that he has about who he is. By this I mean that I believe that they are not grounded in reality. Your current state of mind is only temporary, and the more effort you put in, the quicker it will change. For it is absolutely clear that you have the power and also the talent to be of benefit not only to yourself, but to others as well. It is only that, like all things in this world, it is necessary to reveal and develop this potential into reality, which is almost always takes effort. However, this is a degree of effort that is eminently attainable. When one considers that their relatively brief efforts will benefit themselves and others for many years to come, it will improve their and their community's welfare, spiritually, materially, or both. And then these improvements will likely have a ripple effect and reach even further. And then one will easily appreciate their efforts and exertions to achieve this and are well worthwhile. So in other words, it is the same idea. The Rebbe is saying that, you know what? I understand that overcoming the difficulties you have now in forcing yourself to do things you don't want to do, to think about the things you don't want to think, is difficult. But if you will understand the purpose, you'll understand it's worthwhile. And the Rebbe is saying it's going to be helpful not only to you, it's going to be helpful to the world around you. You're going to help the whole world around. And the Rebbe is continuing in saying that we have so little people in this world. We have so little talented people in this world. We have so many people like you in this world. If people will not be utilizing their utmost potential, this world will be lacking. It's up to you to put every effort to do whatever you can, and this will benefit you, and this will benefit the world. And then I'd be saying, it does not mean that it's not going to be hard. It will be hard. You will have difficulties, but once you will realize the why, you'll be able to bear almost anyhow. Once you'll realize the purpose why you are doing all this, you'll realize you are stronger than these problems. And this will definitely help you.